Yes, indeed. Talking about practice, Chico's number one home for sports. Is it? I don't know.
The North State's home.
For the North State, yeah.
Yeah, Chico's that's home. Right. Chico's home.
Your home. Whether you wanted it or not, it's your home.
We're in your home.
You can't.
In your car. In your headphones.
We're in your ears.
There's no other place to dwell for sports unless you're here with us.
That's right.
So
not in Chico.
Not in Chico.
Because we are Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We want to give you a big thank you and shout out for listening to the nonsense it is we got here. We also want to thank our friends at Halo MRI and Breast Care Center, providing MRI, mammogram, DEXA, and ultrasound without the hospital visit. Halo's MRI and Breast Care Center is the choice for both men and women. With imaging needs, for booking your appointment to delivering your results, Halo MRI Center and Halo Breast Care Center is healthcare elevated. And their experienced staff is committed to your satisfaction. For more information, visit halobreastcare.com. All right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, quick word from our sponsor, and let's get it.
This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by Homes for Gnomes. Because every year, too many gnomes go without a home, but every gnome wants a place to call a home. And if you have a home where you can give a gnome a place to stand to welcome everyone to your home, then you should help a gnome and give it a home. So don't let any gnomes go without a home any longer. Visit www.homesforgnomeswhodonthaveahometogohometo.com and get your gnome today. Because every home deserves a gnome, and every gnome wants a home. And if you can give a gnome a home, your home will be better off for it.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jero. Got my partner in crime, co-creator of the show with me, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And of course, our producer extraordinaire, Stepman Brett.
Yeah!
We back.
We are back. That's right, baby. You know what? This is the last week of football. Next week, when we show up.
Well, of NFL.
Of NFL football, okay.
I mean,
we won't be talking. We won't be talking about the rest, but
I know they try to fill the void, but that void can never be filled by anything other than the NFL.
That's correct.
Agreed.
You know,
I think it's a good attempt, and it's like a good spot to put it, but no one's gonna watch it.
Yeah,
it's been a failed spot every single time they tried it.
When you hear our voices exactly a week from now, we won't have any more football that counts, at least in the NFL, until September.
What about the draft?
April. No, I'm talking about actual games.
Oh, okay.
That might be, you know, football world gets, it's like opens up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the doors have creeped
open. It
gets
its little oasis and then it goes away.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So, with all that talk about football, let's start with hoops. It's been far too long. I've been wanting to get a bunch of hoops takes off for a long time now, but we've had football, American football, we've had football. At a weird time this year as far as the World Cup. And then transitioning from that, we jumped right back into the Premier League. So we've been... And then all our regular...
Shenanigans
we do, all our segments on here.
Yeah.
So we've been hard-pressed for time. And each week I try to get through the rundown. And each week I fail because we only have an hour here. And we have a lot to get to. So I'm finally going to get to some hoops. Not the hoops I necessarily wanted to talk about, because I could talk about the Warriors for an entire hour, but no one would want to listen to that.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I appreciate you. Yeah.
But I do want to talk about Sad LeBron.
That's always fun. We appreciate that.
So Sad LeBron tweets out after not getting his buddy back. Kyrie gets traded from the Brooklyn Nets. Surprise, surprise. But not to the Los Angeles Lakers. The owner, Joe Tsai, of the Brooklyn Nets came out and said he didn't want to trade Kyrie to the Lakers and basically give him his way or let him have his way. So he trades, sends him to Dallas, and LeBron tweets out, "Is it me?"
This is the end. I mean, if there's no other reason to understand why I don't like LeBron, this tweet is it. It sums it up all into one. The man, now, when you're as good as he is, there's no reason why, as I think the guy probably is slightly narcissistic to a certain degree. The guy has been praised since he's been 16, nationally praised since he's been 16, much longer than that since earlier on in his childhood. I'm guessing just the sheer talent that he's possessed his entire life has welcomed and warranted the accolades he gets. But when you go from that long of life being praised and say how amazing you are, there's no reason why is to not think he doesn't love the smell of his own farts. So this is just one of the situations where is it you? It's the idea of maybe you. Maybe it is the idea of you, LeBron. Maybe it is the idea of you that causes everyone to not do it, because you act and it would create a team that probably would. Kyrie going to Lakers, does that make him contenders? It helps out. You got him, Anthony Davis, if you can stay healthy, and LeBron. But this is all depending on the fact that this is Kyrie Irving that will play basketball. And
right.
That's a big question in hand right now.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But I did want to stay with Sad LeBron for a second. I do have some empathy for LeBron, and this is why. He's about to eclipse a record here this week, either Tuesday or, if not Tuesday, Thursday, with 36 points. He's 36 points away from Kareem's record, the all-time scoring record in the NBA with 38,387 points. And he's 36 points away from that during Super Bowl week. And that sucks for him.
Nobody cares about this, unfortunately. It does, unfortunately, because this record, no doubt, if you are a hoophead, knows this says this number is tried and true. And it has been there's been a gap between him and the next person that has seemed like it never would get.
No one thought this record would ever be eclipsed, that anyone at this stage would be able to play that long to beat that record. And then to think that LeBron did it, who he's not known as a scorer. Right? Like, if you look at LeBron's overall game, you would say scoring might be his second best attribute, with passing and just his overall command of the game being his best attribute. And so I liken this to a Wayne Gretzky, who his second best ability was scoring. His passing was kind of what he made a name for himself doing. And over the years, obviously playing as long as he did and being as great as he was, the great one, right? He ended up owning the goals record. And I liken that to LeBron in the same vein, where LeBron is as good of a facilitator as we've ever seen, but he's stuck around long enough and been great for long enough to break this record.
It probably is the fact that it's got to be counted somewhere that he's probably more responsible for more points than any other player is in NBA history.
That's correct, yeah.
And that right there should be something that 100% amazing, because you are correct in the fact that LeBron's game is not known to score, even though the guy has probably averaged over his career over 25 points a game. And to say he's not a scorer, that just goes to show how great of a basketball player he is.
Yes.
When it's always said, like, he wins the game without the ball in his hands. And that's something that's, I think, true greatness right there. When you are able to craft the game and create it, make it in your way to win it, where you don't have to be the one that's always taking the shot.
Right.
Everything works out to your plan. And that's a mastermind right there. So we can never deny how smart of a basketball IQ he has, how his vision on the court is second to none. Maybe Michael Magic Johnson had a great vision out there too, but he does not have the abilities that LeBron has in terms of his ability to score, his ability to drive, his ability to withstand the physicality that the game has presented itself in, especially this future, this era they're in right now. But again, no one cares about it, it feels like. I don't know. I'm not really following it.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me not to because, again, I'm not following this Lakers team so much. But, like, one, nobody wanted to hear about him passing Kobe Bryant on the Lakers.
That's
and I just,
correct.
I think if he's not on the Lakers, this is a much bigger deal right now.
I think it's a combination of that and just the timing, right?
That too. Yes, like, 100%. The Super Bowl is definitely going to supersede
week,
it.
Shows like ours across the nation are going to be starved for content because so many of them are football heavy. Shows like ours that are general, right?
Yeah.
We don't specialize in any one sport. And if LeBron did this, say, Monday next week against the Trailblazers, Wednesday next week at home against the Pelicans, or what is that? Saturday of the following week at home against the Warriors. Much bigger deal, I feel, just because of the way the sports calendar sits. But going up against football in this country, you're just going to lose every single time. And I don't know what it is. I think it is partly that LeBron has played for three different NBA franchises, that he's not the Lakers' own. He's not Kobe. He's not, Magic, Kareem. One of these guys who is, granted, Kareem got traded, but
his career is known as a Laker, though. Like,
correct.
Obviously, he did win a championship with Milwaukee. He did that as start of his career, but he had an entire decade with the Lakers and
that's
then
correct.
Some.
Yeah.
And LeBron has not had a decade with an entire team.
That's right.
You know, he's had maybe 5 years, right? That's like maybe the longest stretch he's had with the...
Well, his first run with Miami was like 8 years or so, I believe.
He was really with Miami for 8 years?
I mean, not Miami.
It was
I'm
Cavs,
sorry.
The Cavs.
The first go-round.
There's no way. He was with Miami for, what, four?
Yeah, he did four.
Yeah.
But I just think that is part of this. And just, again, the sports world's attention this week in particular is on the Super Bowl and all the zany things that go on during Super Bowl week. So we'll see when he does it again. He's 36 points away. He could go crazy tomorrow night against the Pelicans, or he could do it against the Bucks.
Is he at home? Are they on the road for the Pelicans game?
He's at home for both tomorrow night. At home against the Thunder, Thursday night at home against the Bucks. Saturday he comes up north and plays the Warriors in San Francisco.
I gotta put money he's gonna do it tomorrow.
You think he's gonna go for the whole shebang bang?
Yeah, don't try to compete with the Super Bowl. Like, granted, you're in Super Bowl week right now, but like, this is still early enough in it and you're not on the actual Sunday.
Yeah, this is the time to do it.
This is the time to do it.
So they only had seven. Sorry, his first stint with Cleveland was 7 years.
Seven years.
So yeah, the guys have. Because I think that's something, no matter what, I think as fans, we respect the person that's able to stick it out. And, like, you get much more attached to that. Fans become much more connected to that person. And Cleveland's the closest thing he has to a home. But even that one, he left.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
it is hard. There's a certain loyalty that you just don't have as a fan. So... and basketball is weird. There's not a whole lot of records. The 70-win Bulls and this record, I think, are a couple of the ones that some fans, casual fans, would know of. But other than that, the NBA just isn't like baseball in that sense where, records are this, thing that you're reciting as a kid. We just don't idolize the numbers in the same way that we once did. Plus, the game changes so dramatically. I mean,
They added a three-point line in, what, the 70s?
Yeah, and 20 of the top 23 most efficient NBA offenses of all time have all played in the last five seasons. So that just gives you an idea of how much the game has changed.
Scoring is way up.
Way up. The pace is way, way up. Innovation, three-point shooting way up, and then, of course, no hand-chucking, and defense is way different. So scoring's never been easier in the NBA, but that's not to take away from LeBron. But let's move on to our buddy Kyrie. Kyrie, like I mentioned at the top of the show, gets traded this past weekend. And this is, I guess, what I want to ask any team, maybe the Mavs in this case, why? Why would you do this? Now, I understand that on paper, him and Doncic, that's lethal. That is...
It sounds disgusting.
Have the best finishing in the game, period.
You have two handlers of the ball. One of the best handlers our eyes have ever seen in Kyrie Irving and then Luka Doncic.
Yeah, but I would ask any franchise, why would you do this when you think about how Kyrie's been as a business partner, as an employee?
The worst.
All right, so let's think back on it. Let's just go back to his time with Boston. Now, in the playoffs, in that first year, he was injured. He gets surgery during the first round, and he misses Game 7, doesn't show up, says he's in too much pain. The following season, if I'm remembering correctly, he gets swept in the first round, and then he forces his way out of Boston.
Now, is this before or after he told the audience that he's going to sign them if he'll have
this
them again?
This is after he said that he wants to finish his career in Boston.
Yeah.
He then forced his way out to team up with KD in Brooklyn. We all thought this could be something pretty crazy in the East. Most teams at the time would have gladly signed up for that combination of players. You get a first-round exit, or I think they got to the second round. No, you get a first-round exit, then you're a shoe size away from advancing to the finals. With KD stepping on the 3-point line,
KD over the yeah.
Yeah,
but
that was to go to the conference finals.
I believe it was go to the.
Are you talking about the 2021 season?
Yes.
Yes.
2021 season, they played Boston. They beat them, went on to Milwaukee and lost.
That's right.
It was the conference semifinals then.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll never know what could have been if KD's shoe size was a 16 versus a 19 that it currently is.
It was more like a 16 and a half versus a 16, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was that much.
Yeah. So we'll never know what would have happened. But again, Kyrie, just a couple years later, then remember the timeline here. The whole vaccination thing, Kyrie doesn't get vaxxed, misses a bunch of time because of New York's rules when it came to vaccinations. He disappears in the middle of the season, doesn't tell anyone from the team where he is or why he's taking time off.
Don't forget the little anti-Semitism thrown in there, too.
Oh, this year. Nash gets fired. They get Nash the job, then they get him fired. He says he doesn't need a coach. He mentions wanting the players should start their own league, which is just an asinine comment, not realizing what it takes to actually build a league. And he, again, the whole Nike thing, right? He gets a Nike shoe and says his shoe is trash right before it drops, and that he had nothing to do with the design. He is a bad business partner. He's proven it time and time again. And since he hit that one of the biggest shots in NBA history in the finals against the Warriors, his playoff record is spotty at best. And the whole, they brought James Harden in. That became a disaster. Even though in those 16 games they played together, it looked like this could be the greatest offense we'll ever witness. Nope, Harden's out. He doesn't want to deal with the Kyrie mess. And now KD's just left there with, what, Dinwiddie and a couple other dudes.
Ben Simmons, baby!
And Ben Simmons. Wow. And I just, again, my question would be, why would you trade for this guy? Especially with a young player like Doncic. I understand, again, on paper it looks really good, but this guy hasn't proven to be a good employee, a good business partner, a good teammate. And the weirdest thing is NBA players love this guy. Kyrie seems to be really well-liked in the NBA ranks, and I'm very confused. He must just be really cool to hang out with. But
I think it's just, he's good at ball, you know?
Yeah.
He knows ball. And I think one thing when it comes down to it, basketball players respect guys that can ball. And if you ball, they're like, yeah, you're good. You ball. Yeah. You know? No matter what, you can shoot. And Kyrie, no matter, like I said, he's got handles that most players do not possess, and a lot of them wishes they do, because it's spectacular what he's able to do on the court.
But to be able to display those handles, you need to be able to show up. And it just seems like he's interested when he's interested, and if he's not, good luck to you.
I would say it's, I think maybe Dallas thinks that it's not, he won't be there long enough to infect the team, but I just think the moment he steps into that locker room, it's an ever apparent cancer that's just waiting to happen. You know it. It's a time and tested method right now of what Kyrie Irving is.
Yes.
He has told you who he is, and when somebody tells you who they are, listen to them. And I think,
couldn't agree more, my friend.
And it's insane. Like I said, this Dallas team, it's fun. Luka Doncic, if you're not, that's a fun guy to watch play basketball.
Yeah.
And they have a little something brewing there. I think Mark Cuban is desperate to try to get that championship again, so he's trying to make a move, and honestly, he gave up pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
And when you in the grand scheme of it, like he, I think the Nets had better offers out there from the Lakers, and I believe the Suns offered a better deal than him. I believe, if I didn't see correctly, Chris Paul was offered in exchange for that.
He was.
And I would take Chris Paul over Kyrie, and this is me who loves to mock Chris Paul for being a loser. But at least Chris Paul's there. Yep. He's dedicated to actually trying to win. Yep. Kyrie, you don't know if he wants to win or he's just trying to say, I want to burn some sage and make the court feel like home but not actually play there. You know?
Right.
So I would I mean, granted, it's you're getting rid of Kyrie, so Nets, you got rid of him. But I don't know. Again, I'm with you on that. I don't understand why Dallas would try to take this chance. I don't know why any team really would, unless you're literally bottom of the barrel and like, we got nothing to do. We're ready. You can't make us worse. What, but I think he can.
What I'm fascinated by is, one, KD just picked the wrong business partner here, man. And to go from a franchise like the Warriors, who have won a championship since KD left, to go partner up with that disaster, it's just that KD's career, we'll see how it finishes up, but this part of it is always going to be a giant what-if tale. And what if him and Draymond could just get along? What if he could just be okay with it not being his team in Golden State and it being Steph's team, even though he was the best player on that team? That's going to be a forever mystery to us. What could have happened? What could have been? I think it's just, it's all very, very fascinating, and I'll be interested to see. I do also think it's incredibly interesting. So Nico Harrison, a name that you guys might not know, he was an executive with Nike for years and was on the Kyrie account, so he worked with Kyrie a bunch, and he and Kyrie are said to be close. He's now the head of basketball ops for the Dallas Mavs, and so a lot of folks are saying, like, oh, well, he's really close with Nico, so they'll be able to figure it out. He was really close with KD, and by all accounts, KD's a good teammate. All KD seems to care about in this world is hooping. That's all he wants to do is hoop, and he wants to win. That's all he is. KD, say what you want about his Twitter and all that. That dude shows up. He is a professional, and he just wants to hoop. And KD couldn't get buy-in from this guy. Nico Harrison, some executive, some suit, is going to get buy-in? Like, Dallas, you're lying to yourself. That's like dating a girl who has cheated on her last five boyfriends and being like, yeah, but they are all scumbags. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You have to justify this to yourself. But it's a ridiculous justification. When I heard that report, I was like, okay, you guys are really grasping. That's like saying, you know, they were all scumbags, but she was really faithful to this dude back in high school. Like, listen, guys, she's not the one. Kyrie, not the one. But, hey, best of luck to you guys.
So real quick, Phoenix, we're going to give up also Jay Crowder and unspecified picks.
Yes, so.
Better deal with
that. I would rather take that.
100%.
Yeah. Just want to mention the Austin Rivers Mobamba fight. These dudes taking to Twitter after getting into a scuffle, and Austin Rivers threatening to, and I quote, chalk him out, is the most ridiculous empty threat I've ever heard. Austin Rivers grew up in an NBA household. I don't think we need to say anything more. You're not a tough guy.
His dad is Doc Rivers.
Yeah, and he went to Duke. He's a soft player.
He went to Duke.
And that's coming from a Duke fan. Duke players are soft.
He went to Duke.
I mean, yeah. I'm not going to lie. This NBA season is a little crazy right now. You hear the Ja Morant story?
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, there was a incident at, they were facing the golf against the Indiana Pacers. Ja Morant's close friend who was courtside got in a verbal altercation with some of the Pacers players during the game. They had him removed. And then after that game, apparently Ja Morant in a car with his associates were apparently waiting near the Pacers. And there was said to be a laser pointer pointed at the Pacers team bus or in that team vicinity. And you know, they didn't know if it was attached to anything, but it's just a lot of shady stuff going on.
That is shady.
And so the NBA is currently investigating Ja Morant and his connection to this story right now.
Jeez.
So guys they're loose out there on the court right now. They're getting wild right now.
Well, we're gonna have plenty of time to talk hoops in the coming weeks.
I just feel you know what, just embrace hockey rules then at this point in time, boys. You know what? You want to face off? Let's go. Yeah, all right. You know, let's go for it.
I would love a couple, like a 2 minute for fight or five for fighting and just 4-on-5.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah. That would be great.
Do you want to do your North State update, my friend?
Can we wait a segment? Are we able to?
Okay.
Just, yeah.
Well, I mean, sure. Let's talk.
I have a little bit extra.
Okay.
What do I need to do?
Okay. Don't know what that means. We'll keep it moving. Let's talk some football, or actually football. So this week, Super Bowl. We get it. Super Bowl is going to be awesome. We have two teams, blah, blah, blah. I want to talk about prop bets. Let's get into it because this is the time of year.
Yeah.
This is the time of year. And so I want to give a shout out to our boy, John Long Snapping Lucan. He sent me these. I said, send me your favorite prop bets. Him and the homie Aaron both sent me their prop bets. Check out the pod. We talk a lot of gambling. They talk a lot of gambling. I miss a lot of picks. But so here's from John. Travis Kelce plus 750 for first touchdown scored. Great value. I have a rule about the national anthem, and it's always take the over.
Always
take 100%. The over. This year it's at 202. You have or who's singing it? I don't even remember who's singing it.
It's oh gosh, it's a country artist. Holy cow, I'm forgetting.
That is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I know. This is my wheelhouse,
bro.
Oh, Stapleton. Chris Stapleton. That's
okay.
It.
Right. Okay, 202. He's going to get the guitar riff. Yeah. It's going to definitely go over 202.
If it's not over, I'd be shocked. I'm guessing 230.
Yeah, fair enough. Red Gatorade bath, plus 450. Orange, plus 250. And, of course, you're an idiot if you don't pick tails for your coin flip.
It never fails.
It never fails. Also, Steph jumped in to correct us. It was Chris Stapleton while you were over there struggling.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Aaron sent me Jalen Hurts Super Bowl MVP plus 125. Both teams over totals and over in the total of the game. Under 10.5 flags.
One I did see, another good one if you're looking for a Super Bowl MVP. Hassan Reddick. I think he's plus 750.
No, that's a good one.
If he might be even that's more than that, value. which is really, really good
value.
Yeah, because that dude has been tearing it up when it comes to getting that quarterback. So
that's correct.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into a useless stat of the day because I have a really, really useless stat. Ready?
Yeah.
All right, so. This stat comes to you courtesy of our good friend John Lucan, who sent me with looking eyes emoji. Coin toss winners in the last 8 Super Bowls are 0-8.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
It really gets no more useless than that. So go ahead, take all those picks, take them to the bank, miss on 50% of them or 40% and still make some money. There you go.
You said the coin flip winner is 0-8?
That's correct.
So after the coin flip, just bet the loser on that one. All right.
That's correct. Live bet that, baby.
I will say one more useless stat for you right now. I got fun times. So we obviously know our boy TB12, he gone, right?
Yep.
He gone. He had a phenomenal career, we can all say, right?
Yep.
He made himself over $300 million playing in the NFL. To be exact, $333 million made in the NFL. Great for him, right? Phenomenal.
Yep.
You know what? Chump change right now. Why? Because his 10-year contract with Fox worth $375 million. He's making more in the next 10 years than he does in his entire
in the last 20.
That's a good investment.
That man
though.
It knows how to do money.
Yeah.
That man, you should look to him right now. He might be Jewish.
He's just really good.
He's just really good.
He's just really good.
Either way, that man knew how to turn double his margins right there. So good on you, man. Tom Brady.
Yeah, he invested late game.
If he's going to be terrible behind the call, it's going to be... I'm going to love that.
Oh, I can't wait.
He's not, but it could happen.
You know what? He's not going to be great at first. I mean, who knows? He could be Tony Romo, even though there's some issues.
I'm not a big fan of Tony Romo.
Okay.
I'm okay with Tony Romo.
I'm either way.
I can feel Jim Nance wants to strangle Tony Romo at any given
time. Now he does.
That's true.
I feel like there's definitely a tension there, and I can't wait for that point to boil over. Because you're obviously going to stick with the money, and that's not Jim Nance. So, Tony, that's your home for a while. But, Tom, it would be hilarious if he's just awful.
It would be.
Because, I mean, the one they have right now with Greg Olsen and Kevin Burkhardt, not bad. People like Greg Olsen. I'm a big Greg Olsen fan. He's a Panther
Likewise,
shouts for him right now. Never can. And he's known for his third leg over Greg Greg Olson right now.
Oh, so, whoa. Yeah, did not know that.
Yeah, no, if he's
he's a
cousin of a big Dick Cheney Nick.
All right,
yeah, he's a cousin of him right now. He's a relative. Yeah,
Big Cock-a-Doodle Brock.
Yeah.
what? All right,
we're gonna keep it moving. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Once again, we want to give you a big shout-out for rocking with us this evening. We appreciate y'all. You can go check us out on Instagram live right now. TBP, not a game. TBP, not a game. Follow us. We'll follow you back. Message us. We'll message you back. And you can get your questions in there. We got questions coming up here in just a few minutes. We also want to give a shout out to our friends over at the branding agency ID Design and Web, celebrating 20 years in Chico, providing award-winning websites, Facebook, Instagram, and Google strategies, as well as branding and graphic design. To find everything creative for your business in just one place, visit ID Design and Web online. All right, shouts to ID Design, shouts to our friends over at Halo MRI and Breast Care Center. And again, most importantly, shouts to you. Appreciate y'all. All right, well, I've turned off all the news apps on my phone because I only need to come to one place to get my news. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, right here, talking about practice, Derrickus Mackey has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, Derrickus Mackey has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, for those of you who are unaware and living under a rock, Groundhog Day was this past week. Don't know about you. Love me my Groundhog Day. It's a very close to me and my dad. That movie, if you know it. One of the greatest movies ever. And on that day, no matter what, my dad and I, if we're not together, we'll still watch it. But if we're not together, we'll watch it together, no matter what. But you have to watch that movie. Have to watch the movie on Groundhog Day. It's a tradition in my life. So I always have a fond appreciation for Groundhog Day, Punxsutawney Phil, and everything that comes along with it. If you did not know, Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, so we got six more weeks of winter. Feeling it. We're feeling it. So, but apparently, not Groundhog Day is not just here a thing. What did I just say right now? Groundhog Day is not only here in America. Apparently, they love to celebrate Groundhog Day in good old Canada, too. Good old in Quebec, actually, to be precise.
Canada.
At an event in Val d'Espoir in Quebec.
Canada.
Their good old Groundhog Day event. Now, they have their own Punxsutawney Phil, but this one is named Fred La Marmotte. So, a little fancier, but not Punxsutawney Phil has a ring to it that you cannot top. Sorry, Fred Lamotte, you're not as good as our Punxsutawney Phil. And that actually is actually very true because Fred Lamotte did not be able to make his prediction. You know why? My dude died before he could. That is right. Unfortunately, Fred La Marmotte, died a couple hours before his prediction was supposed to come out. They went to go get said groundhog to see if he was going to see said shadow or not. And when they tried to get him, no response. So sad day for Fred Lamont. And at the festival in Quebec, in Val d'Espoir de Quebec, the people all gathered around looking to see Fred. Got no Fred. And said they got dead Fred.
So, he gone.
He gone. Sad day in Canada for Groundhog Day.
Oh,
luckily
man.
Here, our Punxsutawney Phil is alive and well and as good. Cute as ever.
Good.
I bet you they have like a second one in there that we don't know about, just in case Punxsutawney dies.
I was going to say, there's
like
got to be. I feel like we're more prepared for Groundhog Day.
Yes.
So they definitely are. They're serious about it over in Punxsutawney. And so I got to believe. Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay.
Yeah, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Got to go to those one of those festivals one of these
that
days.
That would be
one
cool.
of these Groundhog Days. I will have to make it over there. I feel it's going to just be inundated with people who are just fans of the movie, because that's I would be going as well.
Don't get stuck on repeat over there.
But you know what? If you do, start learning piano. That's the way out.
Spoilers.
You can't spoil a movie that's 40 years old. Sorry.
Nor one that goes to the same day over and over again. Okay, so yes, if you haven't seen that movie, though, go and watch it, because it is a classic, and probably Bill Murray's best work.
All right.
All right, moving along. One more story for you, and this one's a doozy right here. Now, we go over international. Good old Germany.
Germany!
And we're going to Munich, to an elderly patient's hospital, where a nurse there, named only as Mariel G., is being tried for murder. Two charges to be count. And what? How did Mario G go about this? What did he do? Well, apparently, one day, Mario G went into work and had himself a vicious, vicious hangover. My man did not want to have to deal with some of the patients that were calling out for him. So what did he do? Shot them with a sedative, diazepam and lorazepam, that killed the two of those people.
Oh, my God.
Wow. My man was so hungover, he was like, you know what? Murder is the way for me.
Dang.
I don't think he was trying to murder them. I think he was just trying to put them to sleep so he didn't have to. Yeah. I would hope that was the case. If he was trying to murder them, then do better, my man. You could have other ways to do it. But no. He's on trial for murder now.
I don't think I've ever had a hangover that bad.
That bad of a hangover, man. You know what? Should have just called no-showed, my man.
Yeah. No, there's definitely been days when I've thought about murder when hungover.
I mean, sometimes it's suicidal, but like, you have.
Yeah, you did.
Sometimes it's suicidal. But either way, when they are that bad, it is, especially when you're working in an environment where you did get hungover at and you're still having to smell the very thing that got you hungover, and you're having to serve people who have none of the ability to comprehend simple aspects of being out in public.
Yeah, I could see
that. So that's when you do. Murder is definitely on the table. Now, for these people, they're just patients. So that shouldn't be on the table there.
They
didn't deserve this, no. Mario G deserves a little murder, though. He lives a little. Ooh. Yeah, I think he deserves a little murder.
I agree.
Yeah. At least, I don't know, like forced paralysis for life. There you go.
That's not a bad idea.
You can see and hear the world, but you will not be able to move in it.
No, like, I think he should just be forced to drink every day excessively and be that hungover every day.
There you go. That's his hell. Eternal hangover.
I like that. Both those options. He gets to pick which one he has to go through.
The eternal hangover, or
I think the families get a vote.
Yeah, I feel like the family of the they
get a vote.
There we go. That's you know what, judge, jury, executioners. I like it all. We got it wrapped up in one.
Sweet.
Yep. We just fixed the judicial system. You're welcome.
You're welcome, world.
You're welcome. Yeah.
All right.
You're welcome. That's the news.
All right. Thank you, sir. Excellent as always. Let's bring on the gal who's always excellent.
No, we needed this. Not this music, but Aaron being back on the show. It's been too long, and our show has suffered. So thank you, Aaron, for being here.
Aaron, hello.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I know. That, it's as far as it gets right there. You know, 32 years of existence,
don't
Aaron.
Check and, on Derek.
Yeah, 32 years of existence, and this is as good as it gets with my sister.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better from here on out.
You're fat, Aaron. There we go. Back to normalcy.
That's the brother I know and love.
All right, Aaron. I actually caught myself some golf, so get our friends caught up on what happened this past weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot of not just golf, but like reality television kind of golf. So I did just mention the pro-am because the celebrities played. So this is a real PGA Tour win, and Justin Rose won this one. It's his first win in 4 years, so it was kind of about time. I think the most exciting thing about this, obviously, is the celebrities. They play at Pebble Beach, so wow, sucks to be them. Rough life. Aaron Rodgers won it all, and that's the most significant thing Aaron Rodgers has done in, I don't know, about a decade. So he should probably stick to golf.
Great call. My favorite portion of this weekend's golf action is they had a drone shot showing the beach there, and there's a bunch of, you know, people going for a stroll on the beach next to Pebble and Carmel there, and a wave came up and just wiped people out.
Beautiful.
All these people fully dressed, wearing shoes, just soaking
wet, and the drone just caught it, and the announcers just talked right over it. And I was like, that was beautiful.
You got to acknowledge that as you're announcing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be like, ooh, wet day out there on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, you know? Ooh, we hope you got some towels in the car.
Look out for rogue waves. Yeah.
Never take on nature. You'll lose.
So what happened with Kitayama? He finished third?
You know what? That's a really great question.
He finished 29th.
There were some great celebrities that played. Let's see. Nate Bargatze was there. Josh Allen, Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, Pau Gasol, Bill Murray, Ray Romano. I thought the celebrity aspect of this golf tournament was really the exciting part.
If you could golf with one celebrity, Aaron.
Oh, man.
Any celebrity, but they have to be alive.
Here's the thing. I'm not a huge celebrity person. I do really like comedy, so it would definitely be like a comedian.
That's fair.
I think it would just be entertaining, or maybe Charles Barkley.
Oh, Barkley's a good one.
Good one, yeah.
Yeah, you know he's not going to play better than you either.
Yeah, that's also true. I'm not really going for the golf. I'm going for the drinks and like the laugh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
I get it.
Yeah.
Now, do you have anything else for us on golf, or can we switch over to questions?
Well, just really quickly, I don't know if everyone saw the story at St. Andrews. Apparently, around that famous bridge, which is known as Wilcan Bridge, mm-hmm. who knew? They built a little patio or like rock patio because the ground around it has just, I mean, it's just been worn down, right? This bridge is so famous. So there was so much blowback that St. Andrews goes, whoops, my bad, we'll remove the rock pathway leading up to the bridge. It's also hideous. It's so bad.
Wait, the pathway or the rock pathway?
Yeah, well, like, so they built, there's a path right in front of the bridge that mm-hmm. was, it's like, for some reason, I'm assuming so many people walk through there that it just, like, cannot grow grass.
Yeah.
And so they did, like, this rock pathway. Like, I think they wanted it to be in the style of the bridge, and it mm-hmm. just missed so hard. It's rough to look at.
Jeez.
If there's anything you don't want to mess with, it's golf people's traditions.
That's
true.
They are they're curmudgeons as they get.
They take it very, very serious.
Yeah.
All right, so got a couple questions here for us. This one came in over the weekend. Hey, gentlemen, and I will also happily take advice from Aaron, even though my question is about bro code. I recently moved out of Chico into a much larger city. I'm 32 years old, and I just moved for a big boy job. I'm beginning to make some friends, but in a quest to build bonds with dudes, I wanted to share some of my crazy stories from me and my friends and our shenanigans of the past. Our crazy adventures run the gamut from the very mundane to stealing a shuttle bus from a hotel and to getting blackout drunk with the Chicago Blackhawks. I know there are some things that are certainly off limits, in parentheses, infidelity and downright criminal activities for the most part would be left out. However, what is reasonable to talk about? How should I go about sharing some of these stories without being that guy or being a constant story topper? I find that often when hanging out with these new dudes, we separate into groups during social gatherings. The women will typically congregate in one part of the house, and the dudes usually end up outside with cold brews in hand, watching kids run around, practically killing each other. It is during these times when they start reminiscing about their glory days in college. It is in these moments that I want to share some of my crazy stories, but I have been hesitant since I don't know if they are going to meet some of my guys at some point, and I do not want them having a tainted image in their heads of what my guys are all about, since all this stuff we did was a long time ago. What are your rules as to what you can share and what you can't? Thanks, my dudes and my lady. I actually would like to jump in here real quick just because I have a bachelor party coming up. And one of the first things I'm going to address when the entire group is there is like, listen, this weekend we can tell whatever stories we want, but we're going to pull a couple of these out of publication. Now that I'm getting married, some of them just are no longer appropriate, so we could talk about them now, but then they're gone. I think the general rule of thumb is this. Speak about them vaguely. In certain instances, I would change names. And if you weren't directly involved, it's not your story to tell, right? So, like, if your core group of guys went out one night, but you happen to be back home visiting mom and dad or whatever the case is, but this crazy story happened and you know about it and it's, like, well known amongst your friend group, but you weren't there, I think it's hands off. What do you guys think? Anything?
I'm with you on that right there. Yeah, I mean, it's just discretion is always a good thing to use at all times, I feel, to a certain degree. Obviously, discreet is it's a nice way to do it. But again, you want to be show off some of your good stories. I'm sure you have some. Partying with the Blackhawks, that sounds badass. That's a good story to start off with right now. I mean, I would want to hear about that. Just instantaneously, you're telling me about that. Like, how did you end up in that situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm more curious about you stealing a hotel shuttle bus.
That's another one, too. Yeah, exactly. See, so, like,
You guys are wild.
I would say it seems like you are afraid of, like, nefarious activities. And nefarious activities are the most fun to talk about, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think you understand your idea of you don't want to be that story upper. But to a certain degree, that's how we bond in life is, like, you know, commiserating and talking about similar situations and whatnot. You don't want to be like, don't want to be like every single time one up, but like, don't be afraid to share some, don't say juicy stories, but like ones that you definitely, you know, have a certain zing to them. Mm-hmm. And maybe don't paint your friends in the worst light. Maybe paint yourself in the worst light. You should be the one painted in the worst light possible in your stories, I feel. Unless it's like an egregious thing that like maybe it's a friend you don't even talk to anymore. And it's like, oh, this is why he got excommunicated somehow in the group. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, he's still rolling around with these guys.
Yeah.
And has some hesitancy about sharing too much because of the possibility.
I mean, how bad are we getting over here, my man? Like what? Do we have bodies in the bag someplace right now?
I'd say
I think he's referring to illicit drugs guys. That's kind of what he's referring to.
Yeah, that could be it.
But what I would say is, you know, be careful, right? You'll figure out after you go out with them a couple of times who's cool and who's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, use discretion. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll figure it out very soon. As this is coming from someone who kind of just went out with her coworkers for the first time, you know, I think that's what he's talking about. And it's just kind of the not fun of answer of just be careful.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of my rules is make sure that you were part of the story like you were saying, and also make sure that if you're talking about your friends, that if you're saying something about them, that you wouldn't mind your friends talking about you in that same light.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one thing to be cautious of now, you're 32 years old. The older you get, the less cool some of these things become.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're talking...
You're trying desperately to sound like the old days again.
Yeah, and like, I get it. I think we've all been hanging with the guys when you start trading war stories of blackouts past. And we've all been there. But I do think that the older you get, you really got to get to know some of these guys before you tell maybe some of the wilder stories. Because it may not seem as cool to them. They could be like, "Yo, what's up with this guy? He seems to have a bit of a party problem." So I would just caution you that even though it sounds fun and wonky to you, it might not be received that way.
Have you gone traveling anywhere nice? Those are great stories to tell. Places you've gone to travel.
Yeah, tell
you know?
The more tame ones.
Tame, start off there.
Work in the stealing of the bus and the blacking out with the Chicago Blackhawks a little later on into the friendship once you get a good
vibe. You've gone camping maybe one couple times or something.
Right.
You know,
right. There you go.
You've gone international anytime? Yeah.
That's usually where the good stories come from, campfires.
Yeah, dude, 100%.
There you go.
All right.
Moving on. My wife is always late. Hey, Aaron and fellas, I need some help, and maybe Aaron is best suited for this question. My wife, whom I've been married to for 4 years, is an awesome person. She's really funny, attractive, caring, has a great career, and still manages to do all the stuff around the house. Her one glaring flaw is she is always, in all caps, late. And I mean late. Here are a couple of examples just to shed light on my current situation. Last summer, we were an hour and a half late to my cousin's wedding. We missed the entire ceremony, and when asked if something happened, I made up an excuse about having some car trouble as to not throw my wife under the bus. A few weeks ago, I booked us a nice dinner reservation at a restaurant in Sacramento that is hard to get into, and she was almost 2 hours late. When she finally arrived ready and came downstairs and noticed that I was very comfortable on the couch watching the Kings game, drinking a beer, she asked why I wasn't ready, and I told her because she took too long, so we weren't going out anymore. We had to forfeit the reservation. She explained she just figured I'd move the reservation. In parentheses, he puts, "I worked at a restaurant for years, and I'm well aware that you cannot move reservations 2 hours later in the day of, certainly not right before your reservation. You're absolutely right, sir. She said because I wasn't bugging her about leaving the house that she figured I'd moved our reservation and she had more time. I purposely did not bug her this time because she gets annoyed when I check in on her and when she feels rushed when she's getting ready. All women feel this way, bud. She's not the only one. No matter what I've tried, I have not gotten through to her that I hate being late. I am a stickler for time. I am always either there early or I arrive right on time. But I am always now late and it's driving me nuts. How do I get through to her that this drives me crazy? Aaron, he asked specifically for your input, so we'll start with you.
As someone who cannot relate because I'm the early person in our relationship, I would say you have to sit down with her and just be very frank. It really bothers me. It makes me feel disrespected. It makes me feel like you don't care. It really is something that is very important to me. And when you are so careless with things like that, it really makes me feel like you don't care about me.
I like the straightforward approach.
Because everything else isn't working, apparently.
Well, I would just say some people are just like that. Some people are just late and they just don't get it. Some people just don't get it. Like, I used to struggle with this mightily. And once I started dating my now fiance, she helped me understand, like, oh, this is other people's time. And the biggest thing for me is I just get distracted. So it's not that I'm purposely trying to disrespect people. But if I leave the room, I'm going to start fidgeting with something. I just have ADHD brain. And so it's not even that I'm trying to purposely lag. I just get distracted. And so I need someone to keep me on time and goal focused. So I would suggest if a straightforward talk doesn't work, start being late to things that are important to her.
I would also say maybe one thing is instead of trying to put it all on her, and I like Aaron's approach a lot. I think that is direct communication is the best way. Let her know how much it means to you. If you haven't done that yet, that's a really important thing. Let her understand the important things. If you are in a marriage and you're in a relationship, you have to realize it is a two-way street, and what's important to you should be important to her, and what's important to her should be important to you. Vice versa. You should take that into consideration because that is your partner's importance, and you want to help them out. So make sure you have that awareness with her. But at the same point in time, don't just put all the onus on her and say, what can I do to help you get ready on time? What are certain things I can do? Do you want me to remind you? Do you need me to set post-its everywhere right now telling you we're leaving at this time or stuff? Do you certain things I can alleviate the pressure on you right now? So I would say try to throw in your helping hand to try to say, how can you help in accomplishing what's important to you? Because if you say it's important to me, figure it out. That's not a great way. Say, this is important to me. How can we, me included, help out getting sure that we get to everything that we need to on time?
Yeah, and I think also another big thing is letting them know what is important. Like, there's everything that you go to, everything that has a time that you need to be there isn't always important. Just let them know, like, hey,
cousin's wedding,
yeah,
important.
This is important. This is a hard time.
Important.
Yeah. This is a hard time. Hey, we're just going to go to dinner ourselves, soft time.
Yeah.
We're going to try and go for 5:30. If we make it there by 6, I'm not stressed about it. And B, meet her in the middle ground as well.
Or just start up straight up deceiving her. That's what Steph does to me when we travel. She doesn't tell me what time our flight is. She tells me what time I need to be at the airport. I have no idea when I'm flying most of the time. And it's better that I'm left in the dark, because left to my own devices, I would be late for everything. And Derek knows this very well about me. Much of our friendship until Steph came into my life, I was the guy who was always late and would tell you I'm on my way. And that means I'm hopping in the shower.
Yeah, you rubbed off on me right now because I learned your method. I was like, okay, now I'm on that roll now too. So thank you. You brought me into it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. All right, Aaron, excellent as always. We appreciate it. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. All right, Stephanie and Brad, are you now ready?
Let's go. Forgot about that.
I
was so excited to do this, I just forgot about the...
All right, let me get out of the way. It's all you, bud.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, it is the busiest time of the year, so here we go. Without further ado, men's basketball is 10-11 overall, 8-8 in conference after splitting the weekend. They played against Sonoma State and they got the victory, 90-77. Unfortunately, could not bring that three-game win streak going into effect. I'll turn you up over there.
Okay.
Against Cal Poly Humboldt, they lost 67-71. They'll be at Cal State San Marcos and Cal State Los Angeles this weekend. They have six more games to go, so hopefully they can make the CCAA playoffs. Women, on the other hand, they are on a seven-game win streak. Hit it!
There we go, baby.
16-6 overall, 12-4 in conference. They took out Sonoma State 71-67, and they beat Cal Poly Humboldt 79-66 after overcoming a 20-point deficit. That is right. Cal Poly Humboldt scored 36 points in the first quarter and then only scored 30 points the last three. So big come up for them. But we're going into softball. Chico State softball. Not the greatest weekend, but you know what? It's the first weekend up, and they played a Concordia kickoff classic. First off, against Montana State Billings, they lost 2-3. Northwest Nazarene, they won 7-0. Biola, they got the victory. Western Washington and Colorado Christian, they both got the loss 3-4, 1-2 respectively. They'll be playing Academy of Art on the 10th in a tournament, and then they'll also be playing Academy of Art again on Saturday, and then Stanislaus State on Saturday as well here in Chico. Next up, we had baseball there in Houston. They went 1-2 in this Houston Winter Invitational. They were playing in Minute Maid Park, a great event for them. They played against Arkansas Tech. Not a great game there. They only got four hits, and they struck out 17 times in a 0-5 loss. They came back against Flagler College. They gave up four runs in the first inning and then came back and won 6-4. They took on the number one team in the country and the reigning national champions for D2, North Greenville. They took them four runs in the first six innings, but unfortunately, Greenville took care of Chico State's mistakes. They scored seven runs in the sixth inning, and Chico State could not look back. They'll be playing Fresno Pacific this weekend, so check them out at home Friday and Saturday. Next, we're going to...
Did you know Fresno Pacific was a school?
I wish I didn't.
Unfortunately, I did, just because my sister played against them in basketball. Okay. That's about it.
Did she beat them?
I don't think so.
Okay. Sorry.
Holy Names was pretty trash, to be honest. It wasn't pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. So, going to high school...
Your sister was good, though, bro.
Sister was solid. Going to basketball... Chico High basketball, they are four-game win streak, 18-6 overall. They got two big victories against Enterprise and Red Bluff. They'll be playing against Foothill. And the next game on Friday, against the last game against Pleasant Valley on Friday. Next up, Pleasant Valley. Next game before they play against Chico High is going to be against Shasta. That game again for the boys is going to be on Friday. Now going to the girls, PV, playing against Shasta again at home. Before they play Chico on Thursday, and before Chico plays PV, they'll be playing Foothill away in Palo Cedro. And that is my North State update.
Sweet.
Very nice.
We definitely don't have time for foot and mouth.
No, it's okay. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
I tried to go
This is important. I want my North State people to know what's going on with the North
and
State
the fact that they played baseball, played the number one team in the nation, actually took them.
That's big.
Pretty good, yeah.
Chico State. PV, Chico High. Our people need to, our listeners need to know about our local people here. Yeah. So, you know, it's important there.
Well, there was a hell of a weekend in Premier League.
Yeah, My Toffees got 3 points. Yeah, baby! That's cool. That's what I needed to say.
Who'd they get the victory from?
Arsenal. North London.
Stole three. Good for them.
Big 3 points for the Toffees. Son Dyche's first game managing for them. Much needed.
They stave off relegation for one
We're
more
still
game.
In the relegation zone
are they
right
17?
Now. We're 18th place. Teams are still. Teams at the bottom are tightly bunched up. Points are at a premium. So the teams that needed to lose below us lost, so that was good. We got a little separation there, but a lot of work to be done.
How far are you guys from that 18th?